back on Afternoon Drive. We got Ross Tucker coming up in about an hour and a half. We're going to talk to Ross at 4 o'clock. We're going to get his thoughts. He threw something out on Twitter that I think we got to really get into here. And then we also got to get into the situation with the Browns. And it's interesting. Like, I right now, where we are is, can Jameis finish off the regular season as starter? And I do think that there's a path on that. It's called make it consistently competitive and fun to watch. And I think the Browns are realistic that, like, unless you were to win this weekend, which then restarts a clock in a different conversation, because then you have New Orleans and there's a possibility of going 4-6. And then all of a sudden, all those conversations we should be putting at bay right now become real conversations. So for right now, the conversation needs to be, well, can he just stay on the field for the rest of the season? But I understand the impulse to jump beyond this, because with the way this quarterback class is structured, even if you're high enough to take one of the two, three, four best quarterbacks in this draft, this is probably not a class you're just going to roll a guy out on the field and make him the quarterback. So the idea that you need a bridge quarterback, I think, is becoming a real possibility here. And that's going to have to be somebody affordable, like somebody who not a lot of teams are going to line up to go ahead and sign as their starter, a la where I think Jameis would be even after a good half season here.
So I guess the only question off of that becomes, does he play himself into getting... I guess if the Browns are planning on him being the starter, but, like, you know, situation is everything. Would he come back here knowing, like, there's a rookie that's there, that the second things go awry, they're going to give it over to him? Or would he have other options in terms of, like, another situation where he could be a starter?
I think he's going to have the same market that Joe Flacco had. Whereas I think this might reinvent.
You think other teams are going to try to do what the Browns would potentially do with him, which is, we have this rookie, we want you to play behind him type thing.
Or but Jacoby Brissett.
Here it might be, you actually are going to start and want the rookie to play behind you.
And you might actually be able to convince Jameis that, hey, we'll give you a full season even.
Do you think, given his emphatic speech after the whole Deshaun Watson thing, do you think that would turn him off to potentially re-signing here? And I understand that comes under with the understanding that, like, he said what he said this past week and how it was a win for the fans, and it seems like they've now, like, broken bread and it's all kumbaya now and everyone's all on good terms. But that doesn't mean, like, the players forget about that stuff either. Like, I don't think Shelby Harris is back next year after his deal's up.
Yeah, because you're not going to pay Shelby enough to forget it. Like, Shelby's a guy at this point, and I didn't mean that disrespectfully to Shelby.
That is true. Money is loud.
He's a guy that's going to be a $2 or $3 or $4 million player at best on a one-year deal somewhere. Yeah, maybe he can get that anywhere. With Jameis, you throw $10 to $12 million at him and an opportunity to start, that's probably more than he's going to get anywhere. Yeah. And by the way, it might be an $8 million deal. It might be almost exactly what he got to be the backup this year, or what Joe got to be the backup in Indy, and now he has a chance to start again. But I do think what you're saying right there is, I do think, like, I don't think the turnovers are the biggest hill that he has to climb. I don't think teams, and I think this is pretty consistent, I don't think teams trust Jameis. Whether it was the goal line play in New Orleans where he switched it to be a touchdown in a route, which was not a good look. And again, his teammates loved him for it. Coaches don't, that's a bad look. That is a needless question that you have to ask. I think that kind of stuff, and quite frankly, I think his where I was raised speech, I think is another thing that hurts him more in Cleveland than maybe it hurts Cleveland for him. Why? Does that make sense? Because I don't think it plays. I think there's a reason why going into this week, there were whispers out there, or not even reports, but there was conjecture out there that the Browns organization had already tired on Jameis a little bit. There's a reason he wasn't active for Cincinnati. And it wasn't, guys, don't believe Kevin Stefanski. It absolutely had nothing to do with the short goal line package. And by the way, everybody goes, well, they like DTR. Yes, he's on the roster. Of course they like him. There's a lot of people that I like. That's the difference than, like, in no way is DTR ready to be the backup over Jameis. And that is what that Cincinnati game bore fruit on. But, like, that was a ill-advised, we could see that coming from a mile away, unless you had just decided it ain't about winning, we're going to develop the kid and see where it goes, which, by the way, you don't do that with fifth-round pick quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You do that with second-round quarterbacks. But with more than half a season to go, you don't go, I got to find out what you have. Like, we got to get rid of that in the cliche machine. That is some weird voodoo that everybody's just glommed onto. That's not applicable of every situation. We drafted this guy 4 years ago. We got to see what. No, you know, like within reasonable doubt, you know, if a guy has the goods or whether he's a good backup or whatnot.
I mean, I don't know. I do think on some level, like depending on your situation, like if the Browns didn't have Jameis Winston. Like, say they had just started the season with two quarterbacks and it was Deshaun and DTR. I could see them just making the case for, like, where they were at. Like, let's just trot them out there and see what we have. Like,
do you realize how reckless at starting any conversation the NFL is?
Isn't that basically what Hugh Jackson did for two years was just see what they had in quarterback and different quarterbacks?
Like, what you just described is when, like, my kid's like, Dad, can I watch Deadpool? And I'm a little bit of glaucoma medication and a couple Harvest Mules in, and I'm like, your mom will never find out. No good decision ever started
to my Hugh Jackson example, I guess that's why Hugh Jackson was as unsuccessful as he was. But wasn't that basically what he did for 2 years? Was like, let's see what we have in XYZ player, and it was nothing good. And that's why, other than, I guess, Myles Garrett.
I'm going to reserve my comments on Hugh Jackson. Because
why? What do you have to? What do you have to? What do you have to protect Hugh Jackson for? You want Mike Silver shill or something?
No,
over here?
At some point I'm tired of kicking a man when he's down. Like
I don't think it ever gets old kicking that man. Because here's the thing.
No, it does.
No. Because here's the thing. Every time you think like, all right, Hugh Jackson has had his due. We have thrown dirt on him for far long enough. Let's just let that man live. Then he goes and does some random podcast where he brings up like, oh yeah, you know. I was the real brains of the operation in Cleveland. They didn't give me enough power, but I knew everything that I was doing. And then you're like, this guy just can't stop talking. Just admit that you did something wrong. You weren't right all the time.
He was a bad head coach and insincere. I can't hate him for that. Like, he never struck me as a bad guy. Just honestly.
Until you watched Hard Knocks.
I kind of think Hugh and Jameis, they're kind of in same territory of a guy that says stuff half the time. You're like, does he really believe that? Is that really what he thinks? And when you win, it's kooky. It's so fun. He didn't know at Swenson's they put the thing in the door. Hey, wasn't that funny? And then when you lose, it's like, is he a moron?
Well, that's what's
like. That's what Hugh got away with for 2 years until everyone was like, he's saying a lot of stuff here that doesn't make sense, and they're losing.
Well, that is also what the root of it, like what's so funny about the rumors that the organization was getting maybe a little bit fed up with Jameis because. All of a sudden,
I just smirked.
I know. All of a sudden, if you're playing winning football, you can forget all those quirky speeches and all the other stuff. And now we love Jameis. I don't care that he quotes Eminem lyrics on his post game interview anymore.
Well, don't be surprised if he has a bad game on Sunday. If any of that stuff comes back,
or if he's just instantly like. The Browns are shopping Jameis Winston at the trade deadline.
Or, I mean, listen, because the trade deadline's on Monday, don't be surprised Tuesday. If it's as simple as, but I like to think of it on Monday. But no, since it's on Tuesday.
You can't decide, you can't split the, like, no, Tuesday's election day, the trade deadline's Monday. Yeah, you can't have it all on the same day.
My trade deadline's on Monday. That's when I'm cutting off trades. The rest of the league, I'm ahead of the rest of the league. Everybody knows that. But no, that's why... This herky-jerky thing you could go from he's the starter for the rest of the year or he's the starter from here on out, but we're all week to week, to, hey, Jameis is going to Miami for a third-round pick or Jameis is going here for a fourth-round pick. Like, it's just a really interesting situation. And again, Jameis, the person, I think there's reasons, whether it's fair or not, there are reasons why teams don't quote-unquote trust him in situations like to be the starter.
So I have a question, and maybe we can ask this and answer on the other side.
Let's ask it on the other side. You know what? Send it a break with a question, and that'll be the tease.
So if they win on Sunday, but Jameis just plays okay, and he has a couple turnovers, and it's not his best performance, are you locked into him being the starter the rest of the way?